Welcome to the Brett Chapel Show, brought to you this morning by Hometown Hardware, Haywood Regional Medical Center, Smathers & Smathers Attorneys at Law, Fiske Family Barbershop, and by Hometown Wellness. Here's your radio voice of the Bears, Chad Upton, and Fiske head coach, Brett Chapel.
From Riverview Farm and Garden here in Canton, it's the Brett Chapel Show, along with head football coach at Pisgah, Brett Chapel. This is Chad Upton. Obviously, we thought we would be finally getting the season underway last night. Had some difficulties around that, but hopefully we've got a plan in place at this point. But boy, it sure has to be, at the very least, frustrating, which I think is fair, you know, considering all the things that we've, you know, been trying to deal with. Obviously, we were able to get the JV game in on Thursday night, and we've still had to, again, once again, push back the start of the season. But again, know it's frustrating, but hopefully we're getting a little bit closer at this point.
You know, you mentioned it, and I think it's, you look at the faces on the boys when you have to tell them. You know, we're in the locker room, just got through with our pregame meal. Kids are putting their uniforms on, getting ready to load the bus. We were probably about 10 or 15 minutes from loading buses, getting ready to go, and, you know, got the phone call and had to walk up and obviously tell our coaches first. By the time I had got to our boys, had a couple of messages that had already come through from other kids from Inca High School. So our kids were starting to, you could see it as I walked in the locker room, they were coming to me, and I knew what was on their mind. I knew they had seen something that had come out somewhere on social media, but I got a chance to get everybody together and kind of explain to them what had happened and, you know, where we were at that time. You know, we didn't even know that there was still a possibility of playing. You know, we got on the phones immediately and started looking at schedules, trying to pick up a game for Monday and possibly Friday of this coming week, just trying to give our kids some type of hope of getting a game in. I mean, it's, you know, it's been such a long preseason, and you just want your kids to be able to get out there and play, and we need to play. You know, we need to be able to see those mistakes and see things that we need to clean up before we get into conference play. Mm-hmm. You know, we certainly don't want another week off. We need some game time, some film on these guys to be able to evaluate and try to help our team out as we move forward. So, you know, we were able to do some of that, you know, get some of those phone calls made. The team, we kept them around last night. You know, we made some decisions. We had to decide if we wanted to try to go out and practice. You know, what we wanted to do. The kids were just extremely frustrated. And I thought we all came together with a good plan. The kids wanted to go down, and they wanted us to open up the weight room, let them lift a little bit, play a little ball. And we had a couple of mean games of dodgeball and let the guys kind of get some of that frustration out. And it was a really good time. We enjoyed that last night, being able to spend some time with the kids. You know, it wasn't what we wanted as far as getting a ball game in, but I think it was, at least for those boys, it let it get it off their minds for just a little bit, and you know, so that was good for them.
What was your understanding as to the circumstances that kind of led us to this situation? And is that something that you feel like that other, you know, programs and probably throughout the state are going to see as we move through the rest of the year?
Absolutely. You know, there were some games that got canceled early yesterday morning. There were some games that got canceled Thursday, Wednesday, you know, all the way back through the week. Our situation was a little bit unique in how it transpired. They had a young man who had gone home, didn't feel well, went ahead and had a, you know, rapid test done, had come back positive. So as the phone call started being made, they didn't have enough time to go back and do the contact tracing, and all of the things that, you know, kind of come along with once you have a positive. And instead of trying to rush through it and to try to get a game in, they went ahead and made the decision to, and this was from the Buncombe County Schools, went ahead and made the decision to cancel the game, to allow them more time to go back and do the contact tracing. And by the time we had got through with lifting with the boys and getting ready for our dodgeball game, Inca had called back, and they had a chance to go through and do all of it and wanted to see if we were still available and wanted to play on Monday. So, you know, we said absolutely, but it can't be a maybe. I mean, it has to be a definite. We're not going to hang around for another maybe. It's got to be a definite, or we're going to find another game somewhere else, or at least try to. And, you know, we kind of got reassured, know that it would, you know, be a definite There would be no concerns on that. So certainly we took it, and I was able to give the boys some good news. Obviously, we would have loved to have played last night. You know, the thought certainly comes in your mind, well, could we have played at 8 o'clock? You know, got a little bit later. But I think probably in the grand scheme of things, with the way things are going, you know, they made the best decision that they felt like they needed to, you know, err on the side of caution and, you know, safety and health for our kids and their kids as well. And, you know, you can't fault people for that. So we can be frustrated all we want, but at the end of the day, you know, decisions were made. We're going to adhere to them. Hopefully we'll have good weather on Monday. We won't have any issues there. And possibly we might get two games in next week. You know, if we can pick up one Friday, we're certainly looking at that as well. So the possibility of playing two games next week is something that certainly is, you know, I think it's a good possibility, and certainly we're looking that way.
Have you gotten any further sort of clarification or guidance from the State Athletic Association with regard to how these kinds of things might play into the way they look at the playoffs and so forth? Because there are going to be teams in the state that have really small bodies of work, it seems to me.
We have not got any clarification when it comes to that. And I think the closer that we get to conference play, the closer that we get to, you know, playoff time, there's going to have to be some decisions made on how we're going to weigh conference records, non-conference records. And, you know, we're on the front end of the season right now, so yeah. We've not even got into conference play. But once you do and you start having to forfeit games and, you know, all of those things, I'm assuming that they're going to go down as win, you know, in a win column for you. As far as that goes, I don't think it's certainly going to be held against you if, you know, if that's the case. But at the same point, I think that if you happen to be on that side that has the, you know, COVID-related illness, and you're the reason, or I say you're the reason, your school is the one that's kind of holding everything up, I think that it will count against you. I think that it's going to come down to how many wins you have in your conference play and how they will move forward for it. I'll just be honest with you. I think the teams that are able to navigate this the best all the way through the season are the ones that's going to have a chance to get into the playoffs and get good brackets. I thought we did a good job of that in the spring. I'm hopeful that we can continue to do that in the fall and give ourselves a chance to possibly play for a conference championship and possibly get a really good seed for the playoffs.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL. That's a little earlier than I thought it was.
Local sports, right. And we know your health means everything. It's important to get the care you need when you're in pain. If you suffer with knee, hip, shoulder, or other joint pain, Haywood Regional Medical Center can connect you with a healthcare provider who offers treatments and solutions. Don't make your health wait. Visit us at myhaywoodregional.com or call 800-424-DOCS. That's D-O-C-S. Right now is the time to take on that painting project that you've been putting off. Hometown Hardware carries PPG paints, the highest quality paint with superior coverage, adhesion, and durability. Choose PPG paint for your next painting project with a variety of quality paints, wood stains, and much more. Looking for that special color? Hometown Hardware matches any color for both interior and exterior paint. For all your painting needs, Hometown Hardware has you covered. Go paint it with PPG.
Coach, obviously the level of diversity in the last 2 years has just been incredible, and it just kind of keeps being added to. You know, obviously, us sustaining a devastating flood, you and I are sitting in a building right now that had five-plus feet of water in it you know, just over a week ago. And, again, throughout the community, you know, both here in town, particularly along the riverfront, and certainly going up the river, up the East Fork and into Crusoe and the Bethel area, you know, continues to be a battle, and folks are have been devastated, you know, historically devastated in a way that we haven't seen before. One of the good things I think about this, you know, what we do in terms of this football program, and I think our people need it to be that, is it is an escape. It is something to believe in. It is something to sort of, you know, help our folks, you know, get away from the realities of what might be going on around them. But it certainly had an impact on the program too. Obviously, our facility right on the river. We've seen it before. We've seen flooding at the stadium before. But at this point, again, now you're at the, you know, having this happen at the beginning of a season. Still got to make plans for home games and do all those kinds of things. Where do you think sort of we are right now in terms of playing out those home games this season, particularly with the field situation being what it is right now?
You know, I think we went back and had a chance to sit down, you know, administration and everybody in charge of where we're going and things like that, and some decisions were made. And, you know, we felt like at the time that we looked at the facilities, obviously, that were close to us. You know, the first one that we talked about was, what do we want to do with our JVs? Where were we able to play with them? I think back in 2004, if I'm not mistaken, they had played at Bethel Middle mm-hmm. School. So that was the first suggestion made for the JV situation. We had a chance to have a game up there on Thursday. You know, thankful for, you know, Coach Reeves and Miss Paris and all of those people up there for allowing us to do that and to be able to come up there and play for the varsity games. I think the last time they went to Western mm-hmm. and played, there were some conversations with Western Carolina again mm-hmm. As possibilities. We ran into issues with a lot of different things. The issues that we ran into with Western were we would have had to move some of the Friday night games to Thursday night mm. because of their situations with their games. Mm. So we'd have had to move the JVs to Wednesday.
Yeah.
I did not feel like that was in the best interest of trying to do that, for especially for our seniors. Cherokee was a possibility. They had reached out. Mm. And then we had, obviously, the Buncombe County Schools had reached out, Asheville City, you know, and Tuscola had reached out as well. So, you know, we ended up looking at it and felt like at the time, looking at the Inca venue being in the proximity and at the Irwin venue, the dates matched up, you know, pretty good in order to be able to get us into those places for our home games while either they were open or whether they were away. So we were, you know, felt really good, you know, in those conversations. Mr. David Ball, who's the yeah. county athletic director, we'd had direct conversation with him. Dr. Putnam and him had been on the phone as well, and it just ended up working out. I know there were probably some people said, well, why didn't you go and play at Tuscola? Some of those dates matched, some of those dates didn't match, but at the end of the day, and I'm just going to tell you and all of our listeners, you know, those are not decisions that I necessarily make, but I certainly support those decisions. And at the end of the day, we want to put our kids in a place, in a situation where, especially our seniors, and I think that's what people need to understand, those seniors that we have been playing ball for a long time. Their parents have traveled and done those things with them for a long time. We want to make sure that we're able to do the most and the best that we can for those kids going out mm-hmm. and give them the best experience that we can give them, to be able to make as many of those positive memories as they can. And people may say, well, why didn't we go, you know, and play up at Tuscola? It was a situation where we felt like it was best for those seniors and those parents to be in a venue where they felt like it was as close to home, from the colors to all of those things that come into it. And some people may shake their head and say, well, that's, you know, why didn't we stay here? Why didn't we keep stuff in the county? Okay, again, at the end of the day, we're going to do what we feel is best for our kids.
Right.
And I can tell you, just from the head coach's side of it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I want our seniors to have that best experience
sure.
That they can. They deserve that. Their parents deserve that. If we, you know, have to make a decision somewhere down the line and we have to change venues again or do something different, if we're able to host a playoff game, then we'll revisit that
sure.
At that time. But I certainly support the decisions that we all have made. And I think our kids seem to be very good with it as well, and we'll move forward with it.
Did you hear a lot from, you know, even beyond the facilities, did you hear a lot from the other programs around the area, you know, reaching out to offer help? I'm sure you did.
We did, you know, almost immediately, and it was it's very humbling when you sit back and you get some of those phone calls and you realize that there are a lot of people maybe that you didn't realize, you know, thought that much about you and your program. Some really good connections that we just made. You know, I'll give you some great examples. J.K. Adkins from Mount Airy, he was one of the first ones that called me. I mean, that's somebody we played one time.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have any prior history with him, but, you know, he called Sam Mackey from High Brighton, who we had just scrimmaged.
Right.
Chris Cogdell from Chase.
Right.
Those guys that we had just seen. And then, obviously, you had all of your local schools, whether there was text messages or phone calls or emails, and just a lot of support. We continue to hear it every day, even in the conversations that I've had with trying to pick up games. Coach, how are your kids? What can we do to help? How can we make this work schedule-wise so your kids can play? So a lot of people trying to reach out and help, and that's just on the athletic side of it. I mean, we've got a lot of people in our community that have called, from a lot of our guys and ladies down at the mill to, you know, people in town and parents.
Sure.
How can we help? Yeah. Coach, do you have any kids that have been displaced?
Yeah.
Is there anything that they need right now? So that's obviously good to hear and be able to see that we've got still got a lot of community support. Obviously, you know, our situation is, I'll just be honest with you, is not priority when it comes to the devastation that's happened here. And you have to kind of walk a fine line a little bit and not put that out in the forefront. But at some point, we have to talk about it. At some point, we have to put those kids out front and make sure that we're doing the best we can for them athletically and academically in the school. I mean, you look what was taken away all last year.
Yeah.
Just trying to get back to some normalcy for these kids certainly is important, and we're trying to do the best we can with that.
Back with more in a moment from Riverview. This is the Brett Chapel Show on WPTL.
Come take a short trip out to 761 Champion Drive in Canton to Pisgah Family Barbershop, where your hometown barber Ken has been cutting your neighbor's hair for over 50 years. Ken provides haircuts for the entire family. Also visit Hometown Wellness. They offer therapeutic massage, deep tissue massage, hot stone cupping, and reflexology, all aiding with pain management, sports injuries, and more, helping to improve mobility and overall wellness. Call Hometown Wellness at 593-1137 for more information. Smathers and Smathers Attorneys at Law are proud to sponsor the Brett Chapel Show. Pat and Zeb Smathers offer full legal services, including civil litigation, personal injury, domestic and criminal representation, as well as wills, estate planning, and real estate. Serving you from 118 Main Street in downtown Canton. Smathers and Smathers Attorneys at Law. Call 648-8240.
Certainly we want to get back to some football here. Obviously, the JV's got their season underway on Thursday night, playing well and beating Irwin, you know, which is, you know, a big win for that group. You know, we felt really good about that group, particularly coming into the season and what we saw at the scrimmage, really both programs, but the JV program as well. I know you've got to be excited, and those kids have got to be excited to get that first win of this particular season under the belt, both for the JV team and for the program itself. And again, beating a pretty solid group at Bethel on Thursday night.
You know, it was good to finally get out on the field, you know, with those guys. You know, obviously we'd had the scrimmage with them. There's so many unknowns, you know, once you get a season started and being able to see, you know, is this kid a good fit in this position? Do we need to move him here? You know, trying to reevaluate everything after you're able to watch film, those type things. But just being able to get out on the field, execute, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams was really good to see. I thought we had a good game plan going in. I thought our coaches did a good job preparing our kids. When you look at, you know, all three phases of the game, I think we had a lot of success. Obviously, there's some things that we've got to work on and do better as we continue to move forward. But you know, from the defensive side, we gave up 169 yards, gave up 88 yards rushing, 81 yards passing. You know, one of the passing plays was about for 40 yards for their only touchdown. So you look at, you know, you were able to keep the passing game and the rushing game in check, which our defense has, you know, traditionally been known to do. Offensively, we had 326 yards of offense, so we almost doubled what they did. We had 191 yards rushing, 135 yards passing. We had seven different players touch the ball. four different players score. And I think the being able to keep as balanced as we were certainly is important. That was one thing that we really went back and looked at after the season was over with this past spring. I thought we did some really good things in the spring. Obviously, you know, won a conference championship with both the JVs and varsity, but you've always got to go back and reevaluate and figure out what you can do better. And that was one thing that we really stressed this summer offensively on that side. And I think we saw some of that on Thursday night with the JVs and the production that we had. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're still untested on the varsity. We hadn't had that game yet, but just what we were able to do in the scrimmage, I certainly feel like we're leaning in that direction as well. And, you know, hopefully that'll hold true on Monday night.
Going back to the preparation thing, I had a couple questions. The first one is, without having the opportunity to really run, you know, game situation, do you try to mimic that more at the early season than practice?
You do. You try to give your kids put them in a situation of understanding down and distance and understanding the places on the field and, you know, all of those things. And, you know, people have to understand, too, we went from a field that has all of the markings on it,
yeah,
you know, from the numbers to the hashes to all the tickers and all those things, and we went and played at a field that just has the small hashes, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, going up the side. So yeah, that was one thing that I noticed, just as, you know, with me coaching wide receivers, my guys had a little bit harder time figuring out where those places were on the field,
right,
because we're just not accustomed to
right
that. You know, special teams, we had a couple of situations early where we didn't have enough people on the field, and you always have those things early, very frustrating as a coach, but kids get caught up in coming on the field and going off the field. But from the special team side of it, I thought we were solid. Fox had a really good night, you know, kicking the PATs.
Yeah,
we had a new kid, young man, that had to be the snapper for us. We had one of our starters that was out. So that was, thought he did a good job. Snapping on the grass,
yeah,
was much different there than what we had been used to as well. I mean, some of our snaps were a little bit slower than what we had, you know, again, been accustomed to. So our kids had to make some adjustments, too, just on the playing surface and, you know, things like that up there. But I thought our kids did a really good job. I thought we were solid on a lot of our special teams. We got some good young men that are on those JVs, good sophomores and freshmen, and we're certainly excited about what their future holds.
So when you get kids early, you know, in the season, early in the program, for them, how often is it that you identify or you see a kid and move him into a position on either side that he has not played before? Because I think a lot of times what happens is a lot of these roles seem to get established early in these kids' careers, right? To
right
some degree. And so as they move up, that's kind of what they do and specialize in and get better in that. But I'm sure there are times where you get a kid and then you see something, whatever that may be, and you sort of ask them to do something different. Obviously, that was a big deal last year at the quarterback spot for us at the varsity level. And it worked out well. How often do you think that typically happens for you guys?
I think you have to reevaluate every year.
Yeah.
You know, as far as us, and I'll speak to the freshmen first, you know, we get a lot of input from, you know, the middle school coaches and where these kids started at for them. But as soon as they come in, I'm in the weight room with them, and we're getting our maxes and we're getting our 40s, and I'm getting an idea about what kind of an athlete, what kind of a speed that
yeah
these guys have.
Yeah.
And then we start putting them in positions, and, you know, the scrimmage times and all of those things, the 7-on-7s in the summer, all of those things kind of help
sure
us as we evaluate these kids, trying to get them in those positions. And people have to understand, too, it's just like what you mentioned. Sometimes these kids are, you know, put in positions in youth leagues, and they stay in that position all the way through till they get to us. But their bodies are changing,
sure,
too.
Yep.
You know, we have some kids that may be heavier when they're younger,
yeah,
and all of a sudden they're getting skinnier as
yeah
they go,
yeah,
or just the opposite. They're getting, you know, bigger as they go. So, you know, some of those positions change from what they play early on in their careers. Obviously, the biggest thing for us, we want to put them in a position to be successful. And if we're able to help them be successful, they're going to help our team be successful. And that's the one thing that I will say. It's always an evaluation period. I think you look at, and I'm going to use him for an example, Braden Reynolds.
Right.
You know, Braden hadn't typically played quarterback before in his career. He was a skill player, started for us at quarterback as a freshman last year on the JVs, We won a conference championship, did an outstanding job for us, probably one of the better athletes on the field for us. Aaron Clark was coming in. You know, we evaluated the stuff in the summertime with those two. Felt like Braden gave us a lot of athletic ability and been able to get him touches. Felt like Aaron probably could do a really good job for us in distributing the ball and doing those things from the quarterback position. So that was a flip that we made. You know, and we obviously have these conversations with these boys too. I mean, we just don't make one and just say this is what you're going to do. We evaluate them, sit down and talk with them, say this is why, help them kind of understand it and move forward with it. And, you know, we're going to make some wrong decisions sometimes. I mean, we've got to go back and, you know, do the best we can. But at the end of the day, we're trying to make decisions to help our kids be successful. And like I said before, if they're successful, our team's going to be successful.
Coming back to this week, is your plan right now to kind of meet with the coaches like you typically would do on Sunday and go into the week? And have you thought a little bit about what the structure might look like this week, particularly for the varsity kids?
We had a chance to talk before we split up last night and let everybody get gone. Right now we're not planning on meeting. We usually meet on Sunday evenings as a coaching staff, and we spend, you know, 3-4 hours together trying to get the game plan and practice schedules ready for the week. We do not have a game picked up for next Friday yet. We are still working on that. I'm actually still working on a JV game for Thursday as a possibility. So we're still working on those things. If we do not get one before we get to tomorrow, we're planning on not meeting on Sunday. We're just going to move forward with the game plan and everything we have for Inca on Monday night. And then we will move into practices on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then hopefully we'll get us a game picked up, you know, for these kids. You know, it's just so many things go into it. You know, talk to about the pregame meal.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We had churches who fed our kids on Thursday, Riverside Baptist, which did an outstanding meal for our JV program. Beulah Baptist, they fed us on Friday. Pastor Clark and his family came in, had a great meal. And I don't want to sit here and say that the meal was wasted, because it wasn't. Had a great message. Had an opportunity for our kids to be in there in fellowship with Pastor Clark and their family, and, you know, had a great meal, and we're certainly appreciative of that. But, you know, we just didn't go out, you know, get a chance to go out and play. And, you know, we'll drop back and punt, they say, and we'll try again on Monday and go from there. But that's kind of the plan that we've got right now as we move forward. And that's, it's ever-changing. I mean, I got a text message early this morning on a lead on a possible game for next week. So when we finish here, I'll start making a few phone calls this morning and seeing what's there. I think it's important for people to know that this is changing.
It's fluid.
It is fluid. We're just trying to do the best we can to get games for our kids. I sent out a message to our parents last night. This past week, we lost 2 JV games. We had 2 JV programs that folded. You know,
they're not going to play their season.
They're not going to finish their season on a JV level. I was able to pick up one of the JV games. We'll actually play North Henderson twice, which I was glad to be able to get that game.
Sure.
So Pickens ended up having to drop their JV program that we had here in a couple of weeks. East Henderson, which is a conference team, they dropped their JV program later in the year.
Was that COVID year, or is it just numbers?
Low numbers and some COVID-related issues with the numbers as well. So anyways, it's just fluid, you know, and I'm very thankful when you look at our program and, you know, we're sitting there with 46 JVs and we're sitting there with, you know, 35, 36 varsity kids. And we have good numbers because we've got a strong community, but because both programs are successful. And I think people need to understand, you know, some programs will just take the best players from the JVs and move them up to the varsity, and that's just what a lot of programs have always been done, and they decimate the JVs. And when you don't have success at that level, you don't get as much buy-in.
Right.
All right? When
that's
our
exactly
kids come
right.
from the eighth grade, no matter how their seasons have gone or the youth league, the expectation when they walk in the door is you're going to be treated like varsity. It's one program, and we're here to win conference championships. And if we have to have you up on varsity to start for us because of whatever the reasons may be, we may come and ask you. But we try to keep our kids together as long as they can. And when you look at the success we've had on both of our programs, the JVs and the varsity, it shows. And that's one of the reasons that we have high numbers. And we're not one of these programs looking at folding.
Right. Right, and that's such a big deal, and I think that that certainly will continue. Again, we will be back on the air. It looks like it gets 7 o'clock start Saturday, Monday.
7 o'clock start on Monday night. The time won't change, so we're still there at 7 o'clock, and hopefully we'll some fans will be able to come out. I know it's in the early part of the week, and we've got home volleyball. I'm going to miss my daughter's home volleyball game, so I only get so many of those as a parent, but we need to make sure we get these boys taken care of the best we can on getting games when we can, because we don't know how many more we're going to get.
Absolutely. So again, we'll be back on the air on Monday evening, 6 o'clock with the Black Bear Cafe preview, 6:30 the game call against game time on Monday at Inca at 7 o'clock. For head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Till next week, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to The Brett Chappell Show, brought to you this morning by Hometown Wellness, Pisgah Family Barbershop, Smathers & Smathers Attorneys at Law, Haywood Regional Medical Center, and by Hometown Hardware. Join us again next Saturday morning at 8, and stay tuned for The Flea Market with Mike Bryson next here on WPTL.